I had a question related to that. Was this angel, is it really the Lord Jesus? I'm not really sure, because verse 12 and other verses say the angel of the Lord, whereas verse 14, 16 says the Lord said unto him.
I think verse 14 answered your question. Right? Who looked unto him? The Lord. So the angel, every time you read that expression in the scripture, the angel of the Lord, it is an appearance of Jehovah or of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that verse 14 answered that, because in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And in verse 14, that very same person is the Lord.
So when it says the angel of the Lord departed of his sight, I actually was thinking of Luke 23. Excuse me. Where the Lord is breaking bread with the disciples and their eyes were open, but then he vanishes out of their sight. So
Emil, I'm still trying to follow you through on this. You're saying then that I do see Jehovah in these verses, and I also see an angel. No. But the angel is not Jehovah.
The angel of the Lord is.
Yeah, I think we need to understand that whenever the
angel.
Yeah, when it says an angel, mm-hmm. it is a representation by an angel of Jehovah. But when it is the Lord himself, it is the angel of the Lord. So wherever we see the article the, it is the appearing of the Lord himself.
And the angel's capitalized.
So this is the Lord himself.
In wherever it says the.
The. Okay, yes. Because I see in verse 21 the angel of the Lord.
Yes.
And I see in verse 22 when Gideon perceived that he was an angel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was thinking that it was just an appearing, but in truth and in fact it was the angel of the Lord.
Okay, I'm with you.
But if we.
Sorry. You accepted that?
I have heard both. I never before a trip to Taylorsville a couple of weeks ago, I never considered that it was an angel of the Lord. This is the wonderful thing. You don't have to be afraid to come to a Bible study to learn. That's what we're here for. We don't have all the answers and we need one another. So I never considered that it was the Lord appearing, but some others took me aside and said, have you considered this? So that's why I'm asking the questions. What do you think, John?
I will say it. I'm not hesitant for the young people to absorb certain things and to think about it. I would say this. In verse 21, he departed. In verse 22, Jehovah is talking to him. I have no problem to accept that when Jehovah is present, he brings messengers with him as well. And I will give the example of Genesis 18. In the sight of Abraham, there were three men. He talked to them as one person. He acknowledged them as Jehovah, the three of them. But in reality, it was Jehovah with two messengers. So I will just throw this as we continue. Go ahead.
I think the point that we want to make, too, is that the Spirit of God would have us ever to have before us the work on the cross. Because as we pointed out, this was again under the oak. We have a perfect man, a perfect life, who was on the cross, and Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. And for us as young people, the defining moment in our lives is that sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus, because it was there that his blood was poured out so that we would be cleansed. And so I think for Gideon, the thought was, look, Gideon, look at the sacrifice, and to be occupied with the person.
And I think this is really wonderful when we consider this is all preparation for what God was going to do. We would have thought that in the world's way that men are being trained and there are swords and there's all of these things that men use to win battles, you see. But God confounds the things which are mighty. He brings to naught the things of this world, doesn't he? And so God is preparing his vessel to be used. But he prepares him for service by setting Christ before him. That's what we're seeing. That's how we're prepared for service today. The more we see of Christ, the better we're prepared to go out into this world for him, aren't we? And I want just to make reference then to what the Lord would say. Gideon was afraid. Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, oh, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Isn't that wonderful? He's the only one that can give such a message as that. Not only peace, but the Lord can say, Gideon, fear not. Men bring that message all the time. But the thing is, they can't bring peace, and they can't bring deliverance from fear. They say that. Why, there's things on the back of cars. No fear. You've seen them, the zigzags and all of this nonsense. This is the one that can say, fear not, and it means something when he says it. Thou shalt not die. Gideon, everything is under control.
That's interesting because the Midianites are still there.
They are.
The enemies are still there. He's still in the wine press. Nothing really, none of the circumstances have changed.
Right.
But there is peace in the midst of all of these circumstances. So you know, nothing really had happened. But again, it is in the school of God. Gideon is learning that to have peace because of the presence of the Lord, even if the circumstances look contrary. And that is what faith takes hold of.
And in the New Testament, we have a very similar example. When after the Lord was raised from the dead, the disciples were in the room for fear of the Jews. The Lord came in the midst, and what did he say? Peace be unto you. And then what did the Lord do after he did that? He sent them out for service. And you know, we can't, the same as Gideon, he had to come and have an appreciation for what it meant to have peace with God. And until we have peace with God, until we have peace in the presence of God, until we have an understanding that it is because of what He's done, what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, and that He has brought perfect peace as a result of His completed work, and we rest in the value of that work and have the peace of God as a result of it, that's when the Lord can now bring us further on for His service.
Why do we need peace?
Well, I was just going to say, if I could turn this verse around, I wonder if there's someone here who is not saved. We're happy you're here. But we must tell you, we cannot say, peace be unto you. We can tell you that you will never know peace apart from Jesus. You'll never know it. I cannot say, fear not, to someone who is unsaved. Because we've been reminded, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands. What a word picture that is. That as words come out, I in my mind can imagine what it is going to be. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What's the last part? Thou shalt not die. I can't say that to you. I can say eternal death is your portion, not annihilation, but I can say that you will exist for all, not only time, but for all eternity, but in an awful state, apart from God, in a place never prepared for you. This was a message of wonder for God's servant. Peace in a world where there was no peace. Fear not. Enemies all around you still. And Gideon, thou shalt not die.
So now it seems as though here, though, the matter of peace is not just only, and I don't want to take away from the matter of peace with God and having that, but I think it's the peace of God now.
For the circumstances.
Because I think you mentioned, Emil, that Gideon's circumstances had not changed. The hostility of the Midianites was still very present. And we're going to be in a world where the hostility still remains. But what do we need? It's not just the peace with God, but we need the peace of God that now governs us. And I think that this is what is happening here. So this is what is going to make the man of Gideon a powerful man now, because he can only serve God now and serve the people of God in light of knowing comfortably that he's resting in the peace of God.
And you might say, Dave, as you were mentioning the peace, and someone explained that way, which I think it will help us, that it is, he goes to the source, Jehovah of peace. So he goes to the source of that peace. And peace is, most of the time explained, it is the absence of the enmity and the presence of harmony. Although it was the same circumstances of the enmity surrounding him, but he wasn't worrying about it anymore. But he was in perfect harmony and in tune with the mind of God. And that's what peace is all about. And I'm wondering, I don't know, there isn't much time, but I'm going to throw this question for help, if now or the brethren can discuss it later. What is the thought behind the father's young bullock and the second bullock?